Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome to the Barca Blaugranas podcast. My name is Josh. I am joined by our old pal, Zach Hicks of Villarreal, USA. Zach, how are we doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. Happy to have you on. So, our two teams are playing together in about a week. We're recording early just because of the U.S. holiday, Thanksgiving, and kind of travel and all that this week. So, between now and then, both of our teams have pretty important matches that will certainly do a lot to determine kind of the vibe and the feeling of each team going into this weekend. I'll go first. Barcelona's Champions League season pretty much rests on what happens this week. If we lose to Benfica, we then have Bayern Munich, and that, you know, probably not going to go great for us. Your team, on the other hand, has one of the more fascinating, like, you are getting Manchester United at either the best or the worst time you could possibly get them this week. Are you excited that they sacked their manager before this match, or are you worried?
I don't know. I mean, Ole could always be counted on to do something completely uninspiring, which was, you know, kind of encouraging. So I really don't know what we're walking into. But I know they don't have a lot of time to come up with any kind of original plans between him getting fired and this match. So I'm hoping it plays to our favor.
Yeah, and let's talk about the first matchup between United and Villarreal. So what do you recall being frustrated at in that match?
Cristiano Ronaldo is the most inevitable human being in the history of the sport. And just like him in the Champions League, and it's not even like him in general. It's like we faced him plenty of times when he was in La Liga, but him in the Champions League is just the most inevitable freaking thing possible. And you just know, like you were watching the end of this game and you're like, oh, Ronaldo's about to do something stupid. And then there it goes. Like you couldn't stop it. There was nothing you could do.
Yeah. And Atalanta fans would happily agree with you about the inevitability of Cristiano Ronaldo. Let's talk about your point this weekend against Celta Vigo. Was it a good point? I know you guys talked about it being vital in your kind of match recap, but were you happy walking away from that?
So as soon as Unai Emery started four fullbacks in the game, I knew he was playing for a draw. And I don't know why he's playing for a draw, because our league season's going terribly. And frankly, we need 3 points in La Liga worse than we need to advance to the Champions League knockouts. So based on the starting lineup he gave us, okay, fine, the draw was a decent enough result. But, like, I really, as blasphemous as it may sound to people who are obsessed with the Champions League, I would have rather he put out a decent attacking lineup against Celta, get those 3 points, and just roll the dice with maybe drawing Manchester United. Like, I don't know. I've never understood how he rotates for Europe. It worked out last year, but I feel like the priorities are kind of in the wrong place right now.
Well, yeah, and even if the match against United goes bad, you guys have Atalanta in the last match day. And if assuming they beat Young Boys, right, they'll be 1 point ahead of you guys if you lost. So, you know, all hope is not lost if things go poorly against United. The match against Celta Vigo kind of got me thinking, I guess if we had chatted before the La Liga season started, what would you have said your expectations were for your side?
Oh, I would have thought we should have been pushing for, I think what I exactly said was, if we made it to the Champions League knockouts, then I wanted to see us finish in the European places, and wherever we were in the European places would be fine. But if we weren't going to make the Champions League knockouts, I expected us to make top four. Because we spent more money than anybody else. We had a good side already. We spent more money than anybody else. We completely nailed the Danjuma signing. Like, we should be. That's where we should be. It just hasn't happened.
Who has been the biggest disappointment for Villarreal so far this season? And you can't say Unai Emery.
When I first saw Ulai Dia play for us against Chelsea, I was like, holy cow, this guy's a genius. Like, some of the off-ball runs he made, the way he timed some of his pressures, he had an incredible assist that game. I was like, finally we have, like, the striker pairing with Gerard Moreno that we need. And I don't know how much of it is the fact that Gerard has missed most of this season. But Dia just hasn't been that guy yet. The vast majority of the time he's played. And it's kind of left us in this situation where we've got really good attacking play from the wings, but nothing in terms of a focal point that we can rely on. And that's been really disappointing.
Yeah. I just got to say, I was kind of browsing your blog this morning, just getting ready for the interview. And I have to say, your piece a few weeks ago about Unai Emery being kind of hinted at for the Newcastle job, Oil State reportedly after the services of Unai Emery, it did get a good chuckle out of me. If you had to give a grade to Unai Emery as a Villarreal manager as a whole, right, what would you give him at this point?
Oh, as a whole, I think he's still in a solid, like, B-plus range. Okay. I mean, it cannot – as frustrating as this season has been, I think it should not be understated exactly how incredible and crucial it was for him to be the guy who brought the very first – major trophy in club history to Villarreal. I mean, and the way it happened with all the drama in the Europa League final, I mean, it just, no matter what else he does, he will have a high place in Villarreal history forever for bringing that trophy home. And so things would have to get a whole lot worse this year for me to really, as frustrated as I get with him on a week-to-week basis, for me to like have a negative view of him overall, things would have to get a whole lot worse.
No, I mean, it is hard to remember just because, you know, the last couple of years have been such a whirlwind of time, right? That match against United in the final was only, I guess that was end of May, right?
Right, yeah.
Wow, so I mean, not that long ago. Heading into the match, you know, let's just assume nothing catastrophic happens against United. Heading into the match against Barcelona, what are the expectations for your side playing against this you know, they got their 1-0 win against this, let's just call them plucky now, because I feel like that's a word that's going to get thrown around, against this plucky new start Barcelona team.
On a, like, big picture level, I'm not scared of Barcelona. I don't think that they have very good tools anywhere in the back. And I think that a lot of these young midfielders are getting overworked.
Wait. Let me stop you. Didn't you hear we signed Danny Alves? Come on.
with all possible due respect to Danny Alves, even him at his peak wasn't going to like make me think, oh, Barcelona's defense just got a whole lot better. And like the attackers don't make sense to me. I mean, there's a lot of talent in the attacking front, but as a unit, they don't make sense to me. But we're such a mess on our own side that like I can't come into this and be like, oh yeah, we're super confident, because we haven't played worth anything 90% of the season either. I'm very curious to see if against us, if the Xavi new manager bump starts to come into play, because I really didn't think like his appearance really inspired a whole lot in the derby y'all had last weekend. You may feel differently about that. No. But it was I kind of felt like it was a somewhat questionable, I don't think it was quite the travesty that everybody else said it was, but it was a somewhat questionable penalty that got y'all the win of that game. And there was nothing in that performance that said, oh, Xavi's bringing in a whole new thing. You know, this is Barcelona back. So I, on one hand, I'm not so much scared of Barcelona as I am fully aware that we are capable of turning any possible advantage into a draw at best. And so I'm not that confident.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So the whole like new manager bump idea, right? And that's something that I talked about with a guest a couple of weeks ago when this was rumored, is like, I never felt like, as you know, I'm not gonna say Ronald Koeman was a good manager, because one, I'd probably get fired. the people would just come from my head in the comment section. But I also don't necessarily think he was like holding them back from this unbelievable future. I think there were some different things he could have done. But between the financial situation and the injuries to a lot of the really good attacking players that Barcelona have, there was no world where Xavi came in and all of a sudden this team is a, you know, top three team in Europe.
Yeah, I was actually writing for the Everton blog in the SB Nation network when Koeman was there. And so I got to see firsthand how another fan base like really got to, you know, go through the Ronald Koeman experience. And the thing is, he's not a moron. Like he's not a very good man manager, right? He's not the guy that's going to like inspire people and make them feel good about themselves. But tactically speaking, he's not an idiot. You know, like towards the end of some of his reigns, he gets to the point where he's just throwing stuff at the wall, hoping something will change things around. But overall, he's decent. And like you said, I just, with everything else going on at Barcelona, particularly his man management seems to have been a problem, but not like the sum of all the things that were going on there. I just, you know, I'm just impressed that y'all are up to like what, sixth in La Liga when you're mostly playing a U19 team. I mean, that's pretty impressive to me.
Yeah, sixth in La Liga, 10 points off the top of the table with Real Madrid. There's only 4 points separating Villarreal in 12th place and Barcelona in 6th place, which says a lot. So right now, you know, Barcelona would be in the Europa League qualifiers, which is huge for us. What, as a Villarreal, you know, you write about Villarreal, you're covering this team. What is it like watching, and I asked the guys over at Into the Cauldron and Managing Madrid this as well. I'm always fascinated to get the La Liga perspective of a flailing Barcelona. What are your thoughts? What have they been from a distance watching Barcelona this year? Like, are you a spiteful Barcelona watcher, or are you when Barcelona's good, the league's better?
With no ill will intended towards many Barcelona fans that I have so much respect for, I absolutely relish Barcelona being bad. Like, it is the most...
See, the other two guys just gave me like these kind of like apolitical answers. That this is what, no, I'm here for.
No. I am eating it up with a spoon. I love every bit of it. I would have loved every bit of it anyway if the whole Super League thing hadn't happened last spring. But then that happened, and then they just dove off a cliff right after that. And like the drama and the political drama at the club, and these guys who have won every trophy imaginable having to like struggle to get to Europa League qualifiers and everything. It's like, oh, this is so beautiful. I love it. Look, since we're clearly not going to do it, if Real Sociedad goes on and just wins this league this year, I'll be thrilled for it, because it's one of those things that, as much as I like to take La Liga's success in Europe and beat my Premier League fan friends over the head with it, at the end of the day, if like we could have a year where like Real Madrid finished, you know, 16th and Barcelona finished 17th, I'd be thrilled. I'd be thrilled. Welcome to what the rest of us deal with year in and year out, you know. Again, with no ill will towards Barcelona fans anywhere. But
no, just... and you mentioned the Premier League thing. By the way, we're kind of losing that superiority over the last couple of years. Like, that always kind of used to be the thing that I could throw around is like, yeah, well, you know, our league might not be as deep, but man, when you get us in Europe, watch out. And it's just like, it has not been that way the last few years, has it?
No, it hasn't. It's the one that's one thing I think all of La Liga should appreciate Unai Emery for last year, because, you know, although looking back at it now, we really should have beaten Arsenal more comfortably than we did, because they're awful. But beating Arsenal and then Manchester United gave like La Liga that little bit of self-respect. Like, oh yeah, we still kind of got it, sort of.
Good grief. Is there anyone at Barcelona right now, like going into this match, that you are worried about sort of, you know, controlling the game and beating you guys at your own game?
I don't know, because it's, I've been completely just begging Unai Emery to plan a counterattack all year. I mean, just begging him to. But he gets obsessed with this, like, slow build up, let's take 15 passes to advance the ball 15 yards type stuff. So what I'm hoping is that Barcelona is talented enough in midfield that they can push us back and make us play on the counter. So if anything, I kind of hope that some of these young guys you got, and I'm sorry, I can't keep track of which ones are healthy and which ones aren't. I know Pedri's out.
Come on.
I know Pedri's out. Fati's still struggling with issues right now, right?
Yeah.
But y'all got, Gavi and then y'all played that brand new winger who I joked on Twitter is going to get a start for Spain in like 3 months.
Are you talking about Nico?
Ilias, I think is what his name was.
Okay, yeah.
And you know, like, I'm hoping these guys with their talent can put us enough on the back foot in possession that we can play on the counterattack. And if that's the case, then no, as ironic as it sounds, if y'all can put us on the back foot, then I'm really not worried about any one of your guys like taking over and beating us. But if we end up having the majority of the possession in this game, then somebody's going to end up in a one-on-one sprint with Raul Albiol and y'all going to beat us. I mean, there's just nothing else we're going to be able to do about it.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, just like looking at the possession stats, I think Barcelona had about 66% or 67% of the possession against Espanyol in the derby. And then I think I'm looking at the match for you guys, and I think you guys had only about 43% of the possession against Celta Vigo. So, I mean, it could, if you want them to play on the counterattack, I would personally, the way I see this game going, it feels like that's how it's going to be. Barcelona are going to try to soak up the possession with the midfield. Anytime De Jong is on the pitch, like, I expect Barcelona to try to play a possession-based attack.
Yeah. Well, and you should. I mean, yeah. Because he's excellent. And really,
I'm talking about Frankie De Jong, by the way, not Luke. Just to be clear.
I really thought you were going with the discount Olivier Giroud. I didn't mind the amount of possession we had against Celta. It was just the fact that the two quote unquote wingers were Alberto Moreno and Ruben Peña. So like, it didn't matter. Like, it was like, oh yeah, we're on the counter, but they're jogging and catching up with our players and we have nobody that can really shoot. And okay, great. So I'm hoping that, you know, Tuesday to the weekend is a long enough gap that he'll go ahead and he'll play some of our fast wingers. And when, you know, y'all push us back in possession, then all of a sudden you get maybe Dani Alves trying to mark Sami Chukwueze out wide. And, you know, we can get a goal that way. Like, that would be ideal.
That sentence hurts so much. I'm going to be honest, I really care about the match between our two teams, but I'm honestly more excited for the Champions League matches midweek against Manchester United. Like, just off the cuff, what is your prediction? Like, what do you, and you don't have to give me a score, but like, what do you think is going to happen?
I think that we're going to get a draw on this one. I think that Emery is looking at the table and he's like, hey, if we need to do something against Atalanta on the last day, I can manage that. So let's just make sure we get a draw against Manchester United. And he's going to put out you're going to see really well-organized two banks of four. And he's going to count on the fact that because they're in a managerial transition, that they're not going to have an innovative enough plan to get past it. Not going to be the prettiest football in the world, but I think that's what he's going to be going for.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, having the match at home, I think is honestly probably I would favor you guys if this was in Old Trafford for some weird reason, because like, I think 20 minutes of poor football and all of a sudden they're just, the boos are coming in. I just like you said, Ronaldo is inevitable in the Champions League. And I think if Sancho has his day and Bruno's out there playing well, like, that's such a, things can go from okay to just bad, but for Villarreal, but the problem is for United, right? Is like, they just haven't been able to flip that switch any time recently. And if I had to, like, if I were placing a bet, I would honestly place a bet on Villarreal winning, just because I have not seen anything out of United that convinces me they can score more than one goal.
The problem, though, is that if Unai Emery gets a lead, he stops caring about scoring.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what I literally predicted it before I set up the match in the match preview. I was like, we have a prediction section at the bottom. And I was like, Villarreal takes a 1-0 lead in the first half, and then Unai Emery finesses it into a draw, and we can see in the second half. And it's literally exactly what happened.
I mean, Moreno scored pretty early. Wasn't it like before the 30th minute?
Yeah. And it was like Emery managed to sub on better attacking players and still become less aggressive going forward. I mean, it was almost impressive. And so it's one of those things. It's like, and really that's what he did in the Europa League final against Manchester United. I think it's one of those things that if we get the lead, Emery's going to be like, okay, now we sit back in our two banks of four and wait for Ronaldo to tie the game in like the 85th minute. Because it's one of those things that in a knockout style tournament, it works, because what he's doing is he's managing the big picture. He's like, we get a draw against, if we get a draw against United, then we have our fate in our own hands against Atalanta. And he likes that. But I don't know. It's really hard to watch. It's really hard to watch and get excited for as a fan. And that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Wow, that was kind of a depressing way to end things. Listen, Zach, do you have any last thoughts, any last anything else you want to say to the people before our two teams face off here in the next few days?
Just that I hope that with Xavi taking over, that one of the things he does, because Koeman introduced a lot of the young guys, but in my opinion, he overplayed them. In my opinion, part of the reason why Pedri's having the injury issues he's having now is because Koeman was like, oh, I've got this really useful teenager, I'm going to run him into the ground. So I'm hoping that as Xavi takes over, he gives the young guys a chance while still keeping them healthy, and that your fan base is patient enough to let him do that. Because you couldn't possibly have anybody more Barcelona than Xavi running the show. And I really think the best way, as much as I would be disappointed to not be able to make jokes about Mark anymore, the best way for y'all to get back to where you need to be is to give him enough patience that says, hey, even if we just make the Europa League this year, that's okay, because he's setting things up for the future.
Yeah, no, 100% agree. And I think last week we had Kevin Williams on, and he kept saying, right, you know, Juan Laporte can't fire Xavi, and my response was, he can't, but that doesn't mean he won't. And it's like, I'm not so worried about there's always the irrational Barcelona fan, as you and I both well know, but I'm more so worried that in 18 months, if Barcelona don't see themselves as a top three team in Europe, which they probably won't be, that the rumors will start, and that's when things start to suck, because this is a multi-year project.
And that's especially hard when Real Madrid still find themselves right up near the top of the table, because those two fan bases compare everything to what the other one is doing.
Well, it sucks even worse because the guy propelling them, we apparently had him, and then Real Madrid came in and signed Vinicius for like double or whatever, and now he's just over there dominating.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. Well, Zach, thank you for joining us. Everyone, be sure to check out Villarreal USA before the weekend. They do great work over there. And Zach, we will chat again soon.
All right. Thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.